Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Carlithia is a South African singer and songwriter. Her love for singing began as a child when she started singing in church. She hails from a household of classical musicians who gifted her with a love for jazz, pop, and gospel music. She later earned a Bachelor of Education degree in foundational phase teaching from the University of South Africa in 2022. Carlithia's single Attention reached the top 40 on the Adult Contemporary Radio Network, KFM. Her second single, I'll Always Be There, was written and produced by PJ Morton. She performed on 5-time Grammy Award-winning American R&B artist and Maroon 5 keyboardist PJ Morton's, for who she now shares management with, recent South African piano show. She has also performed at the Cape Town Convention Centre's Integrated Annual Report, the Baxter Theatre, and the famed Sanctuary Mandela in Johannesburg. With a strong following, TikTok has helped Carlithia get attention around the world. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30 p.m. South African time, she hosts a live session on the platform where she performs and takes requests from her supporters. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Carlithia. Joining me today, we have got Carlithia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well, and you? Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Where does the name or the stage name Carlithia come from? How was that chosen?
Well, I've got a son, and his name is Luca. So Luca means light.
Oh, okay.
And I'm really into Greek mythology, and my actual name is Carla.
Yes.
So it's Carly and Thea at the end. So yes. Thea in Greek mythology is the mother of light and sight. So I kind of jammed the two of them yes. together and got the mother of light, as in Carlithia. So there you go.
I love that. Oh, that's super cool. Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether it was a child or a teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in this creative space, this creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I don't think I ever thought I would do music, be an artist, be a singer. It was something that had developed in church. I started out singing in choirs and all of those things, and I was picked to go sing alone in the choir, or, you know, outside of the choir, doing solos and all of those things. And I think, you know, in school, it was picked up as well that I had a voice for singing. So music and singing has always been a part of me, but it wasn't something that, I mean, I was young. I was probably like 5 years old when I sang in the kids' choirs in church and all of those things. So it was something that grew with me. And I remember my mom telling me recently, she said, I came to her in the kitchen one day and I told her, Mommy, I have a solo voice. I have a standalone voice. I was like, and my mom told me this recently, and I said, why did you never tell me that? I could have known. I would have known exactly what to do after school. But it was something that has always been part of me growing up. And when I was younger, I wanted to be a zoologist. I wanted to be a teacher, you know. And during high school, I was asked to do some recording work and doing voiceovers and after school as well. But growing up, there wasn't anybody around me that were singers and, you know, family members or people that I could, because TV was there, but no internet and all of those things. So you never know kind of what to do. There's no kind of, you know, thing to tell you, okay, this is the way that you need to go if you want to be a singer. And, my parents always wanted for their kids to be, you know, to have a job that they knew, you know, to have an income every month and all of those kind of things, study to be something. Mm-hmm. And I studied teaching after school and I got my teaching degree. Yeah, but music has obviously always been part of me. Mm. So I've been doing music on the side all the time while I was studying and all of those things. And I think 2 months after I finished my teaching degree, I decided to do a TikTok live and did the TikTok live. And I found that people were kind of you know, coming into the lives more often, started with two people. I think it just kind of grew from there, you know, and it wasn't something that I really thought I would sing on TikTok lives. I mean, it was just, I think it was during COVID time.
Yeah.
During COVID time, yes. That people were on social media and they were doing those things. And I think my sister, she had told me, why don't you kind of just put yourself out there? And I thought, okay, let me do this thing, you know? And I decided to go on to TikTok Live, started out with two people watching me and kind of just continued from there. And now I've got people from around the world watching in. So that's kind of how it progressed to, yeah, to doing some amazing things now.
So you referenced that at 5 years old, you said to your mom, you've got a standalone voice or a solo voice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you were pulled out of the choirs to do various things. At what point did you realize actually, oh, this is a gift, this is a tool that I have for the world to share? Because obviously you were just going according to what other people saying, okay, come do this, come do that. But at what point did it concretize in your brain? Oh, this is actually something, a gift that I've been given.
Gosh, that's a good question. I have no idea, actually. I think maybe after school, I think it was in high school. I think grade 11, matric, somebody approached the school to ask for a few singers, a few musicians that wanted to do an album. And the album was to raise funds to buy a piano for the school. So we did an album and I remember thinking, okay, this is actually something that I can do. And I kind of feel a little bit good at it, better at it than other things, you
yes.
know? So I think at that stage, I thought maybe this is something that I can go into. And I wrote a song on that record or CD as well. So it was definitely something that I really enjoy doing. That's the time.
Okay. So you reference writing songs. So let's dive into your creative process from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song or a piece of music. What invigorates it? What motivates it? Is it easy every time? Do you do it by yourself? Do you collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative process.
It's different all the time. Sometimes I start with words, what I'm feeling, or sometimes it starts with a melody. Sometimes I've got to get a beat from somebody. I've written some songs on my own, but there has been people that's written songs for me as well. Specifically the song that I just released about a month ago that was written by PJ Morton. Yeah, that's kind of how I do things.
Okay.
It's a bit of everything.
Bit of everything. Okay, so this leads me to the next question, was you reference feeling and you reference words.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information.
Mm-hmm.
So we've each got a dominant, secondary, and tertiary. So a person's dominant means they'll be in that processing information for the whole day. Secondary, 1 or 2 hours. Tertiary, if at all.
Mm.
Now, something kicks in as very young kids, which allows us to think or put a process into place that allows it to become our dominant.
Yeah.
Allows it to become our dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got visual people. They create pictures of the information they're receiving. You've got auditory people. So auditory people hear the words. They understand the words. They put into sentence. They understand the sentence. So it's all about those auditory elements.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic. I'll do that word again. Kinesthetic. It's about the body language, the tone of voice, the emotion, the energy mm-hmm. of the relay information. And they unpack all those things to process the information. So focusing specifically on music, because it may be different in other areas of your life, but focusing specifically on music, listening to your own songs or listening to other songs by other artists, when you're listening to those songs, are you creating pictures? Is it about the words or is it about the feeling?
Words and feeling.
Where, okay.
Words and feeling to me, I think, especially when I listen to songs, I listen to songs that have meaning. You know, that's the songs that resonate with me. Songs that are really deep. Words that are really deep. Words that are kind of, you know, said in a different way.
Mm.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what comes out of that, that reaches my heart, that reaches my, oh, okay, she said that this way. Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
Maybe I can, you know, say something different here. You know, that's the, when I listen to a song, I listen to firstly what they're saying,
yes.
secondly, how they're saying it, where is it coming from, those kind of things. Yeah.
It's interesting because there are millions.
Definitely auditory.
Definitely auditory. It's interesting because there are millions of people who love songs. And I often interact with the person, I'm like, do you know what they're singing about? I'm like, no idea. And then you tell them what the song's actually about and they're actually shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people are not dominant in auditory, so they don't pick up words. It's just about the beat or the flow. So they don't actually know what they're listening to at times. Yeah.
But I mean, I think also the beat or the melody stands out for me as well. Because, I mean, I can listen to instrumentals all day. And that can be my thing. Like, I go through these phases of, okay, we're doing something that's really deep with words now. But then I'll listen to, like, Vivaldi or, you know, those kind of things where it's just orchestra.
Yes.
Or it's just soulful beat. So I think it's a bit of both, a bit of everything. Yeah.
So are there any times that when you're able listening to songs by the artist, that are you able to just relax and just be in it for what it is? Or is your audio brain, audio ears, picking up the words all the time, deciphering what it's meaning, unpacking it? Or is it a process of actually sometimes I'm just going to just listen and relax and enjoy it?
Ooh, I can't listen and relax and enjoy. Okay. I tried that while working or while studying.
Yes.
I cannot study with music.
No.
Even if it's instrumental.
No.
I can't. I listen intently to everything that's happening. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. So what's coming up next? You referenced the song that you released a month ago with written by PJ Morton is called?
I'll Always Be There.
I'll Always Be There.
Yes.
So we've got this song that's just been released. What's happening short term, long term, next couple of months? What's happening?
Well, I've got some shows that I am doing and then also some music that I've written myself that I am performing at the moment, which is not released. So hoping to release that really soon. And yeah, that's what I'm doing. Writing all the time, you know, putting myself out there, doing some shows. I've got one coming up and then some other things as well.
Is the releases going to be a cumulative to a project of an album?
I'm not too sure yet.
Okay.
But hopefully soon.
Okay. So I love this discussion. I have this debate with all the artists I interview. So I love to hear everyone's observations and perceptions. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I'm not sure if you're aware. CDs, even cassettes and vinyls are massive comeback. Vinyls last year alone in the UK, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. CDs on an upward trajectory. In fact, in the UK, they've got a basket of products where they gauge for prices for tax purposes. Vinyls have always been in that basket. And now because of the upsurge of CDs, they're back in the basket.
Wow.
In Asia, they've just opened up another vinyl factory that's been closed for 50 years.
That's amazing.
So we've got these physical things coming. And it's the younger people. Research is showing it's 30 years and younger. It's not the older nostalgic people wanting that nostalgia of it. So we've got these physical aspects, but then we've got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Well, I actually don't dive that much into that.
Okay.
But I will say that it's very easy with digital platforms. Mm. It's very easy to get music. But as an artist, I would want somebody to buy my full CD.
Yes.
You know, instead of just streaming a song of mine on Spotify or those things. But I think being an artist, you want to have your music accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the most important thing. So you can have it on digital platforms, but I think having it kind of in your hand and handing it out to buying that CD, I think there's something fulfilling in that also as a consumer.
Yes.
So,
I mean, it's a whole journey. I love it because I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, listening to from song one to whatever number, because you guys put a lot of intention in, you will be putting a lot of intention in the rollout of an album, like what song is going to be number one, number two, the story, the themes behind it, that will be coming through. So to have that experience is, from a consumer's and a music passionate music person's point of view, is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think at the moment, if you look at artists now, I mean, everybody has their things on social media, but you look at, like, you know, bigger artists, they have their little turntable things, you know, and for a consumer to buy that is something big.
Yeah.
You know, so I think each platform and each distribution thing is a good thing.
Work hand in hand. Absolutely.
Right.
So now tell me, what do you enjoy about performing live?
People.
Okay.
People, I think when I'm on social media and I'm singing, or rather on TikTok and all of those things, and I'm singing, I'm looking at the screen.
Yeah.
Right? And there's nobody looking back at me, and nobody that can share that emotion, or nobody that I can see.
Yeah.
That is sharing that emotion with me. So I think performing live and having people in front of me and, you know, singing the songs with me, I can feel the emotion. I can see what they are doing. I just had two shows, and just being there and watching people receive me as an artist, that was the highlight for me, you know, and having them sing back at me and all of those things, that's really special to me.
Okay, I've got another discussion, point of discussion. I love having discussions with you guys. So I'm that dude that's right up in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. I take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos, and I put it away. I notice oftentimes a lot of people for a long period of time are videoing, tweeting, posting, and so on and so forth. From the perspective of being an artist on stage, seeing a lot of phones, do you feel that it takes away from that connection, that emotion, that feeling you were referencing, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think it's just where society is at the moment. On Wednesday, I had a performance, and this guy was actually on his Instagram live, but he was dancing. So I think you can do everything.
Okay.
I think you can do everything. And I can see, you know, as somebody singing to a crowd or being on the stage and looking to the crowd, you can see what the person is feeling. And that means so much. And if they're taking their phone out, that's like okay, they're really enjoying what I'm doing.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So, and posting on social media, I think it's when people are recording you, it's something that they want to go look at again. And they are posting. So, you know, it's this person experiencing something, but it's also them taking it to a platform and other people experiencing it as well. So that's really beautiful to me.
Okay, I love that. You're still doing your TikTok?
Yes.
How often did your TikTok?
I do them on a Tuesday and a Thursday from 8:30 in the evening.
And you're performing live, correct?
Yes. Okay.
So how do you choose what songs to perform?
The songs that speak to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know that people will enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I did a cover of Easy on Me by Adele the other day.
Yes.
I started really slow, and then I got it kind of going a little bit fast. So I enjoy that. So I would think people would enjoy that. So if it's a song that kind of speaks to me, then I know, okay, this is what we're doing. And it's just a beautiful thing when it comes together. And touches the heart.
And you do it acoustically or with instrumentation?
With instruments, with a band.
Yeah. Oh, with an actual band, live band. Oh, wow. But did you start off with a live band, or was that introduced over time?
It was introduced over time. I started with tracks.
Okay.
And yeah, recently got a band together and we're just moving.
So is it rehearsed for these clips, or is just like, okay, let's just feel how it's flowing in the moment?
Do you mean the lives?
Yes, the lives.
Oh, so the lives I do with tracks.
Okay.
The lives I do with tracks.
Yes.
When I'm performing live, then it will be the band. Yes.
Okay.
And then we rehearse and all of those things.
So then obviously for the TikTok lives, obviously you need to have rehearsed because you know what song's going to sing, because you've got the tracks and you need to prepare that.
Well, I've got a bunch of tracks, and then the people that come into my live, they are able to request songs that they want to hear.
Okay.
What I tell them is, okay, I will do it if I know it.
Yes.
And there are a few that I do all the time.
Yes.
That people request all the time. Fan favorites, if you can call it that. So yeah, that's kind of how I broaden my repertoire as well. Yeah, so that's how I do it.
You sing your own songs during the lives?
Yes, I do.
Okay, obviously.
I do, yeah. I do. I sing them a few times on my live, because there's different people coming in and out of the lives. But yeah, I do my own songs. I feel like that is important.
Yes, of course. It's a massive platform to share with.
Yeah, definitely. Totally. And then I do some covers as well.
Okay. And your perceptions, we're speaking a lot about this, but what are your perceptions on social media?
I find it really positive,
okay.
A positive platform. I think I found my people and my tribe on social media.
Exactly.
And it's not only from South Africa, but it's from the world. And I think that's what social media does. It brings the world so much closer to you.
Yes.
And that's a positive.
Yeah. And also, I think the more authentic a person is their natural selves when they present themselves on those platforms, the more people will liken or be become part of the tribe. He's like, oh, this is a person who's real, who's down to earth, who's authentic, and it's not some filtered.
Correct.
So,
yeah,
I think it's just about how you utilize them and how you present yourself on them.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 minutes, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay, first on my playlist at the moment, PJ Morton, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, Ariana Grande, POV,
okay.
Point of view. Gosh, Doja Cat Woman. Stevie Wonder, isn't she lovely?
Yes. One more.
One more, yes. one more. Let me think. Carlithia, I'll always be there.
There we go. Love it. Absolutely.
That's it.
Obviously, you just started and you're in the beginning sort of stages of upcoming artists. So for someone who's watching or listening, who thinks, oh, this is a path that I'd potentially like to create or take for myself, what points of advice could you give for them?
I think just put yourself out there as much as what you can, and also just be consistent in what you want to do and what you are doing.
So it's about pitching up, saying yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Love it. High five. So about pitching up, saying yes, and also just keep doing.
Keep pitching up.
Keep saying yes.
Correct.
So, like, for example, I get invited to events and sometimes a specific person in my life or people in my life are like, why do you keep going to these events? It's like, it's about pitching up and saying yes. Because the more you pitch up and say yes, the more you'll be seen and the more things grow from that. It's like planting roots and watering.
Yeah. Planting the seeds and, yeah, just planting it everywhere and just hoping that it grows, but yeah, watering it as well.
Well, I think, yeah, it's about saying, okay, it is going to grow because I'm going to water it.
Right.
And watering it not every 5 months.
Yes.
Watering it like every day. Every day and every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say to the listening audience?
Thank you so much for listening in. And my name is Carlithia.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.